Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our riveting journey through the series, The Invisible War. In it, we'll explore the unseen world of good and evil and see how it impacts our day-to-day existence. Join us for eye-opening biblical insights into the spiritual dimensions that influence our lives in ways we never imagined. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called, Never Fight Your Battles Undressed.
One of the things that 9/11 taught us is you have to be prepared for an attack. And that's really what I want to talk about in your personal life today. If you'll take out your message notes, 9/11 told us that we weren't ready for that kind of warfare. And we were caught off guard because we didn't know who the enemy was and we didn't know how they were going to attack. This same principle is true in your life. And we've been talking about the battles that you go through in life. And the reason why life is so hard, why it is tough, why it is difficult, the reason why you have so many battles in your life is there are unseen forces at work around you. This is called the invisible war. This weekend, I want to wrap up this series by looking at how to fight the battle by preparing for it and what kind of armor, what kind of equipment you need to wear. The Bible's very, very clear about this. If you have a Bible, I want you to open to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, if you don't have a Bible, all of the verses are written out there in your outline. You can pull that out. And before we actually look at the full text, I want to make three points. I want you to write these things down. These are three things that Paul teaches us about fighting the battles that you fight, the battle against discouragement, the battle against depression, the battle against doubt, the battle against despair, the battle against darkness in your life, against delays and dead ends and difficulties. These battles that come against you in life, unless you're prepared for them, you're going to be taken out by Satan, just like the Twin Towers were taken out by the terrorist. Now, the first thing in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're going to learn is this. Write this down. I must get dressed for the battle. I must get dressed for the battle. Nobody would go out onto a battlefield naked. Nobody would go play NFL football without putting on some padding, suiting up, putting on a helmet, these kind of things. You just don't go out into a fight without being prepared for it. I learned a term a number of years ago when we were doing a 40 days of purpose in a prison. You remember when we were doing 40 days of purpose all over America, and we did this in a number of prisons that asked us to come and study the purpose of life with them. One of the prisons was called Sierra Prison in Northern California, 6,000 men in a maximum security prison, and they wanted to do 40 days of purpose. We have now planted a church in that prison that runs several hundred people. Over 2,000 prisoners have gone through 40 days of purpose at that prison. And in fact, there was an article in the New York Times on the front page that talked about the change that it made. This prison had never gone more than 2 days without a lockdown because there was so much violence and conflict among the prisoners. Since they had done 40 days of purpose, they've gone 5.5 years without a lockdown. That's the difference that it made. In fact, there are 7 cell blocks in this prison, and 1 entire cell block is committed to celebrate recovery. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Well, I went up there to visit them one time when they were planting the church in the very beginning and just starting the church. And Danny Duchesne, the prisoner who is the pastor of that church, told me, he said, now, Rick, when we go out onto the field, this is a giant football field where 6,000 prisoners gather. He said, you never go onto a field without being suited and booted. And I said, what does that mean? He said, well, you don't go out in shorts or, you know, cutoffs and flip-flops, because he said that makes you very vulnerable. You go out with real pants on and you go out with hard shoes, so you're ready to either fight or flight. You're either going to have to run from people who are trying to beat you up, or you're going to have to fight your way. So you never go onto a field without being suited and booted. And actually, they made a very important statement when they started that church, as they had 150 guys gather in the middle. And they said, you know, just as Moses was told by God to take off his shoes because it was holy ground, we're going to dedicate this prison to Jesus Christ. And so they said, men of Sierra Church, deboot. And in front of 6,000 prisoners, 150 guys who were forming this church years ago, took their shoes off in the middle of the prison. You could have heard a pin drop. But the point was, when you're going into battle, you have to be suited and booted. You have to be prepared for it. Now, here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 10. A final word, Paul says, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Circle that phrase, God's armor. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand. Said, if you're not, you don't have on the armor, you're gonna fall, you're gonna slip, you're gonna stumble. So you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies and tricks of the devil. Now, I hate to tell you this, but you were born into a battle. You didn't ask for this battle, but when you were born on earth, you were born into a cosmic battle. There is an unseen war going on between good and evil, between light and darkness, between God and Satan. They are not equal enemies. Satan is far inferior. He's a created being. God's a zillion times more powerful than Satan. And one day he's going to wipe him out. But he allows him to exist right now so people have a choice. Because it's not real love unless you can choose to not love somebody. And so God gives us a choice between good and evil. He's actually using that right now. But in this cosmic battle between God and Satan, people are often pawns. You see, Satan cannot hurt God. He can't hurt him at all. So what do you do when you can't hurt somebody? You hurt his children. You go after his kids. You want to hurt me? You hurt my kids. You hurt my grandkids. And so the bottom line here is that Satan often uses you as a pawn to get at God. He tries to hurt you. Now notice what this verse says. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies and tricks of the devil. Now the devil is real. He's real, he's actual, he's factual, he's not just a force. You know, we like to joke about Satan. We think of him in a little red pajamas with a tail and horns and a pitchfork. In fact, we name our teams, you know, the Diablos. And we like to joke, but Satan is no laughing matter. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your career. He wants to destroy your finances. He wants to destroy your life. He would be happy for you to take your own life. Satan wants to mess up your life. And notice it says he has strategies and tricks. Satan is subtle. Satan is strategic. Satan is smart. He's far smarter than you are. So don't try to outsmart Satan. You're never going to outsmart him, and he's not afraid of you at all. Now, that's the bad news, that you were born for a battle. The good news is you were born to win. And the Bible says in 1 John, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Satan is not afraid of you, but he is afraid of who's in you, God. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And when God's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is in you, you don't have to be afraid of Satan. But you got to get dressed for battle. Now, the second thing we're going to learn from this passage is this. I must know my real enemy. I must know my real enemy. One of the reasons why you walk around defeated and discouraged all the time is because you don't know who your real enemy is. You often think your enemy is other people. That's not the real enemy. You often think the enemy is the economy, or the enemy is a political party, or the enemy is something else. Who is the real enemy? If I ask you that, who's responsible for all the mess in the world? Who's responsible for the mess in our culture, the mess in our economy? Who's responsible for all this mess? Some of you would say, the Democrats. Some of you would say the Republicans. Some of you would say the Tea Party. Some of you would say a pox on all of them. And you'd all be wrong in every case. They are not the real enemy. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 12. We are not fighting against people. And if you think other people are the enemy, you're wrong. We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits, many translations say spiritual wickedness, in the heavenly places. Now, You are no match for Satan. You trying to take on Satan is like you trying to shoot a rubber band at a battleship. It's going to have no effect at all. Satan is not afraid of you. He's not scared of you, and you cannot hurt him. But everybody gets used by Satan. Yes, Christians get used. You know, sometimes you say things that Satan put those thoughts in your mind. You say, even a believer? Absolutely. I have said things to my wife that I know, looking back, that was from the devil. And she knew it was from the devil, too, when I said it. And you have been used as a pawn in Satan's plan all along. You cannot beat Satan, but God can. Now, the other thing I want you to understand about this, and write this down, is not everything that is spiritual is good. Did you write that down? Not everything that is spiritual is good. There is spiritual wickedness. There are good spirits and there are bad spirits. There's spiritual light and there's spiritual darkness. There is righteousness and there is evil. Just because someone says, I'm spiritual, doesn't mean they're good, because there are evil spiritual forces too. Not everything that's spiritual is a good thing. And by the way, Satan doesn't fight fair. So a lot of times he's going to put ideas in your mind. You've got to catch him in the act. Go, well, hey, I know where that one come from. You see, Satan can't physically attack you. He can't come out and slug you and punch you. Everything he does in your life, he does by suggestion. And so this battle, the spiritual war that you're in, it's in your mind. It is a mental battle. And those thoughts of depression and those thoughts of discouragement and those thoughts of anger and fear and worry, those are coming from the evil one. And they're going to come at you, and you need to understand them and catch them in the act. Now, the third thing this passage is going to teach us, and we're going to look at it, is use every piece of armor. I must use every piece of armor. And we're going to spend today's session looking at the pieces of armor. In verse 13, it says, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy. In the time of evil, and we are in evil times right now, so that after the battle, you will still be standing. God says, you can have victory, and I want you to fight from victory, not for victory. Stand in the place of victory, of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. But he said, you're going to have to put on every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy so that you're still standing after all these things have happened. Now, let me give you a little background. When Paul writes this passage, Ephesians, he's in prison. Paul was, at this time, the most famous prisoner in Rome. The Roman Empire is spread all over, you know, Europe and Asia. And Paul has been taken as a prisoner to appeal to Caesar, the emperor of Rome. He's the most famous prisoner in Rome right now. And so not only is he in prison, but he was chained 24 hours a day to a Roman centurion. And as Paul is writing this, he's writing it as he's chained to a Roman centurion. And Paul looks up and he's writing on how to handle spiritual warfare. And he looks up and he sees this fully dressed Roman centurion. He goes, I could use this as a teaching lesson. And I can compare every part of a Roman soldier's garb, weaponry, protection, and make a spiritual parallel to the things you need in your life to guard against depression, despair, defeat, doubt, difficulty, and all the things that get you down. And so we're going to look at that and today in just a minute. And I own a complete set of Roman armor. Underneath all of his weaponry, the first thing that a Roman centurion would wear would be a red tunic. And this was kind of like his long john. So he's standing here in his underwear, actually, right now. The first thing that a Roman centurion would put on would be the belt. Now, if you've ever watched, like, weightlifters, professional weightlifting at the Olympics, or even sometimes even wrestlers, they will wear a heavy belt like this. They cinch it up around their waist. It gives them support and stability. It's what holds them together. And so the first thing that a centurion would put on would be the belt. It was not only strengthening his core, the center of his being, but it also held the weapons that he was going to wear as he went out into battle. Now, Paul makes a parallel, and he says what you need to wear as a Christian is you need to wear a belt, and it is the belt of truth. Notice this first verse there on your outline in verse 14. So stand ready with the belt of truth tight around your waist. Now, the belt of truth gives your life stability. It gives your life strength. If your life isn't based on truth, then you're going to have sinking sands, shifting sands. You have no strong core. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the person who builds his house, who builds his life on my truth, is like a guy who builds his house on the rock. And when the hurricanes, like they're having back east, and the earthquakes, like they had back east this week, come, because you're built on the truth, you're like a house on the rock, you're going to withstand it. But he said, if you don't build your house on truth, your life on truth, it's going to be shifting sands, and it'll be easy to blow you over. Now, what does this represent? Well, you might write this down. The belt of truth represents integrity. Integrity. And integrity is knowing and doing the truth. And the first thing you need to put on in your life is integrity. It's the belt that holds everything together. If your life isn't based on truth, it's going to fall apart. And so you need integrity, moral integrity, relational integrity, financial integrity, sexual integrity. You need integrity in the different areas of your life. Now, I've explained this to you before, but let me do it again. Integrity does not mean perfection. It doesn't mean you always do the right thing. Because if you had to be perfect at integrity, nobody's got integrity. Because nobody is perfect. Everybody slips, everybody stumbles. Integrity is not compartmentalizing your life so that you don't appear different ways with different people. Integrity comes from the word integer or integer, which means a unit of one. It means your life is not a bunch of pieces of pie, but it's the filling all in the middle. In other words, that you act the same way with everybody. You don't act one way at work and another way at church. You don't act one way at home and another way with your friends. Integrity means what you see is what you get, that you're not faking it. The opposite of integrity is knowing the truth and not doing it. That's called hypocrisy, which is wearing a mask. So integrity is the opposite of hypocrisy, which means what, you know, I'm exactly what I appear to be. Now, if you lack integrity in any area, you are going to be vulnerable. As I said, if you segment your life and say, this is my church life, and then this is my work life, this piece of the pie. And this piece of the pie is my sex life. And this is my secret pornography life over here. And this is my sports life. And this is my friendship social life. You're already lack integrity because you're not acting the same in all of those areas. Integrity is knowing the truth, but more than just knowing it, it is doing the truth. And that's the one that gives you stability. It holds you together in the middle, in the tough times. It gives you strength.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. Today, I want to share a letter from Edom, a listener from Canada, who talks about the impact Daily Hope has had in his life. I love these stories. He writes, "The Daily Hope ministry has helped me greatly in shifting the lens through which I see life. I know now that I was created for God to fulfill His purpose. I understand that every trial or every situation I face in life is a test of my character and is preparing me for heaven. I started listening to Daily Hope at a time when I was confused about my existence. This was when times were bad and I didn't have a job. I always thought a profession defined who I was, but Daily Hope shifted my perspective on life and my purpose. And I soon started to experience peace in my heart when I least expected it. Now, even though I landed a great job, I understand that it doesn't define who I am or my purpose. I was created by God and for God, and I want to surrender fully to His will. So I want to say thanks to you and to the entire Daily Hope team for the impact that you've had on my life."
What an incredible testimony of how God's working through Daily Hope to bring about strong sense of purpose in people's lives. So thank you, everybody, for your ongoing support and your faithful prayers. More lives like Edom's will be changed in Jesus' name because of you.
If you've been wanting to partner with Pastor Rick to take the hope of Jesus to people who need to hear it, you can give right now by going to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.